Good morning. Today's parasha is entitled Shmini, meaning the eighth day, and covers Leviticus chapters 9 through 11. In these chapters, Aaron begins his ministry to the people. His sons come into the presence of God burning a sacrifice not prescribed for, and we are given dietary laws. For today's parasha, I've chosen to focus primarily on strange or unauthorized fire. Beginning in Leviticus 9, Aaron and his sons have completed their seven-day-long ordination and are now officially priests of the Lord and able to begin their ministry to the people in accordance with the Lord's command. But what starts off wonderfully has a sudden turn of events, reminding us how quick we can be to forget who God is and just how sinful we are. Moses instructs Aaron and his sons on the sacrifices required by the Lord. They followed the commands as instructed, and this pleased God, and he showed his glory to the people, consuming the offerings with fire he sent from heaven. The people shout for joy and fall face down in worship. Picture a stadium packed with people to capacity, a sea of people shouting with joy after an amazing game-winning point. Except our people numbered several stadiums, and all were offering joyful worship to the Lord. Can you imagine what the sound must have been like, charged with anticipation and joy? However, sometime after completing the sacrifices God had required of them, Aaron's sons took their lit censers with fragrance incense, and they went into the presence of the Lord. They decided to improvise. What were they thinking? All that had been asked of had been completed. What would possess Aaron's sons, the ones that are supposed to be our mediators, to try and come before God when not instructed to, with an offering not prescribed by the Lord? Scripture goes on to tell us that only a few short verses later that priests are not to drink any, I repeat, any alcohol before entering the tent of meetings. This verse gives us a further glimpse into what may have happened with Aaron's sons. I'm pretty sure most of us know what drunkenness can do to even the most loving and meek individuals, allowing the darkest and most hidden things to come to surface. While wine can make joyful the heart of man, the abuse of it can also be his downfall. In offering strange fire, Aaron's sons showed that they did not give God the proper fear and esteem that he deserves. After they offered their fire, God then sent his fire from heaven and consumed them both. This demonstrates to our people that we cannot treat God as something other than our Lord and Master. When Aaron's sons sinned, they were showing that they didn't have proper respect for God, treating something very sacred and holy with a casual attitude. This is a powerful lesson in this parasha that God is far higher than us and not to be toyed with or disrespected unless you too wish to get burned. After Aaron's sons were killed, Moses said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord meant when he said, 'Through those near to me, I will show myself holy and gain glory before all the people.'" And Aaron was silent. This verse is very profound, and I love the way the Lord explains how we are to relate to him. To some, the death of these two men seems extreme and without real reason. But this verse explains the matter clearly. The reason is that this had to happen to prevent others who saw what Aaron's sons had done from following in their footsteps and experiencing God's wrath. We see a parallel to trying to worship God, the Lord our God, in a way other than what he has given in 2 Chronicles with King Uzziah. King Uzziah for many years did what was right by God, but after he had gained much prestige and power, he suddenly felt it was right to do what only priests were allowed to do. He also lit censers, added incense, and took them into the holy place. But Uzziah and 80 other priests with him stood in his way, reminding him of whose job and whose duty this was. He was immediately struck with leprosy, the king, after he became extremely angry, and he was forced to live out the rest of his life in isolation. James tells us in his letter that not many of us should presume to be teachers. My brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Those in a pastoral or spiritual role of significance are held to a much higher standard. Moses then instructs Aaron's extended family to carry the bodies of their cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary. So terrible was the sin of Nadab and Abihu that Moses commands Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, not to mourn their death. They were not to allow their hair to become unkempt, nor to tear their clothes in mourning. We should understand that Adonai does have compassion. He knows the deepest sorrows of our hearts. And Yeshua experienced pain and loss in his own life. The difference here is that Aaron's sons were in a place of honor and power, but showed God a lack of respect and a prideful attitude. The Lord had to clearly demonstrate to our people that if we try to do things our way, it would lead to our destruction. We cannot come to God on our terms. At that time, the only way to receive forgiveness from God was from following him wholly and obeying his commandments. In regards to the Mosaic Covenant, if we fell out of the line, there would be swift recompense. Like yeast in a batch of dough, just a little yeast, it would cause it to rise. Like a little sin, just a little disrespect, or a reverence towards God would also spread. It would become a deadly infection, not just among our Jewish people, but amongst all peoples everywhere. After this, the Lord instructed Moses and Aaron on what the animals were deemed kosher and clean, or fit to eat. While in those days, eating foods God deemed to be clean taught us how to recognize the difference between that which is holy and that which is not. Today, we ourselves have been made kosher, fit in the sight of our God, through Messiah Yeshua. He provided a final covering for our sin and uncleanliness. Following a kosher or biblical diet is no longer a prerequisite to enter heaven, but should be seen as a beneficial way of living and a way to honor God with what we eat. Dietary laws never have provided a way to heaven. They temporarily kept us physically clean so that we could approach an infinitely holy God. Yeshua made it so that we can approach God no matter what we eat or whether we are Jew or Gentile. The takeaway from today's parasha is that since God has given us clear instructions, we are neither to add nor subtract from them. His commands are sufficient. We should strive for a spiritually clean and holy lifestyle. Likewise, we should also strive for a physically healthy lifestyle. For our body is a temple. We should be praying for those in spiritual leadership, that God would lead them and that their hearts will be continually turned towards God. For their jobs hold high levels of responsibility as servants of Adonai. While not all of us are presently in leadership roles, it would benefit us to aim for the qualities that would be expected of leaders in our own lives so that we can too be used for God's purposes. Thank you.